ananjaya yashoda nandana jaya braja janaranjana jaya yashoda jaya braja janaranjana jaya yashoda nandana jaya braja janaranjana jaya jaya braja janaranjana jaya yamuna tiravana chari jaya kunja bihari jaya yamuna tiravana chari jaya kunja bihari jaya yamuna tiravana chari jaya kunja bihari jaya kunja bihari jaya yamuna tiravana chari jaya kunja bihari jaya yamuna tiravana hari jaya kunja bihari jaya radha madhava jaya kunja bihari jaya radha madhava jaya kunja bihari jaya gopi jana vallabha jaya girivaradhari jaya girivaradhari jaya yashoda nandana jaya braja janaranjana jaya yashoda nandana jaya braja janaranjana jaya yamuna tiravana chari jaya kunja bihari jaya yamuna tiravana chari jaya kunja bihari hare krishna hare krishna 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 hare 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 rama hare Rama, Rama, Hare, Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. श्री 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 हरिनाम संकीर्तन की जय। चैतन्य महाप्रभु की जय। शिल प्रभुपाद की जय। निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे हरि हरि। देवं विष्णुपाद परमहंस परविराजाचार्य स्तोत्र इस डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत शिल प्रभुपाद की जय। जयं विष्णुपाद परमहंस परविराजाचार्य स्तोत्र श्री श्री भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णववृंद की जय। नमाचार्य शिल हरिदास ठाकुर की जय। प्रेम से खो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद की जय। श्रीमद्भागवतम ग्रंथराज की जय। ताय गौर प्रेमानंदे। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We are reading from texts 24 to text 33 from Canto 8, Chapter 20, entitled Bali Maharaj Surrenders the Universe. So I'll read the purports from 24 onwards, and I believe 32 and 33 is on the board. So I'll just read the translation. Text 24. Bali Maharaj saw beneath the garments of the Lord, who acts wonderfully, the evening twilight. In the Lord's private parts, he saw the Prajapatis, and in the round portion of the waist, he saw himself with his confidential associates. In the Lord's navel, he saw the sky. On the Lord's waist, he saw the seven oceans. And on the Lord's bosom, he saw all the clusters of stars. Text 25 to 29, the translation reads, My dear King, on the heart of Lord Murari, he saw religion. On the chest, both pleasing words and truthfulness. In the mind, the moon. On the bosom, the goddess of fortune, with a lotus flower in her hand. On the neck, all the Vedas and all sound vibrations. On the arms, all the demigods headed by King Indra. In both the ears, all the directions. On the head, the upper planetary system. On the hair, the clouds. In the nostrils, the wind. On the eyes, the sun. And in the mouth, fire. From his words came all the Vedic mantras. On his tongue was the demigod of water, Varuna Deva. On his eyebrows were the regulative principles. And on his eyelids were day and night. When his eyes were open, it was daytime. And when they were closed, it was night. On his forehead was anger, and on his lips was greed. O King, in his touch were lusty desires, in his semen were all the waters, on his back was irreligion, and in his wonderful activities or steps was the fire of sacrifice. On his shadow was death, in his smile was the illusory energy, and on the hairs of his body were all the drugs and herbs. In his veins were all the rivers. On his nails were all the stones. In his intelligence were Lord Brahma, the demigods and the great saintly persons. And throughout his entire body and senses were all living entities, moving and stationary. Bali Maharaj thus saw everything in the gigantic body of the Lord. Text 30. O king, when all the demons, the followers of Bali Maharaj, saw the universal form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who held everything within his body, when they saw in the Lord's hand his disc known as the Sudarshana Chakra, which generates intolerable heat, and when they heard the tumultuous sound of his bow, all of these caused lamentations within their hearts. Text 31. The Lord's conch shell named Panchajanya, which made sounds like that of a cloud, the very forceful club named Kaumodaki, the sword named Vidyadhara, with a shield decorated with hundreds of moon-like spots, and also Akshaya Sayaka, the best of quivers, all of these appeared together to offer prayers to the Lord. Now we'll chant text 32 and 33. Sorry? Oh, okay. Let me chant 32 and we'll take 33 together. Sunanda Mukhya Upatastur Isham Parshada Mukhya Sahalokapala Surat Kirtinangada Meena Kundala Srivatsa Ratnottama Mekha Lambharai. Verse 33. Madhu Vrata Srag Vanamalaya Varto Raja Rajan Bhagavan Urukramaha Shitim Padaikena Baler Vichakrame Nabha Sharirena Dishas Cha Bhaubhi Madhuvrata Srag Vanamalaya Vrato Raraja Rajan Bhagavan Urukramaha Shitim Padaikena Balar Vichakrame Nabaha Isharirena Dishascha Bahubhi Madhuvrata Srag Vanamalaya Vrato Rarajan Rajan Bhagavan Urukramaha Chitim Padaikena Baler Vichakrame Nabhe Sharirena Dishascha Bahubhi. Please chant. Madhuvrata Vanamalaya Raja. Madhuvrata Sragvanamalaya Vrato Rarajan Rajan Bharagan Urukkuma Idimalaikena Baler Vichakrame Nada Charirena Dishascha Bahubhi. Mataji, Madhuvrata Sak We'll read the word for meaning. Sunanda Mukhaya, the associates of the Lord, headed by Sunanda. Upatastu began to offer prayers. Isham unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Parshada Mukhya, the other chiefs of the associates. Sahalokapala, with the predominant deities of all the planets. Suratkirita, with a brilliant helmet. Angada, bracelets. Minakkundalaha, and earrings in the shape of fish. Srivatsa, the hair named Srivatsa on his bosom. Ratna Uttama, the best of jewels. Kaustubha, Mekhala, belt. Ambarai, with yellow garments. Madhuvrata, of bees. Srak, in which there was a garland. Vanamalaya, by a flower garland. Avrata, covered. Raraja, predominantly manifested. Rajan, O King. Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Urukrumaha, who is prominent by his wonderful activities. Chitim, the whole surface of the world. Pada ekana, by one footstep. Bale, of Bali Maharaj. Vichakrame, covered. Nabha, the sky. Sarirena, by his body. Disha, cha, and all directions. Bahubhi, by his arms. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. These associates, headed by Sunanda and other chief associates, and accompanied by all the predominating deities of the various planets, offered prayers to the Lord, who wore a brilliant helmet, bracelets, and glittering earrings that resembled fish. On the Lord's bosom were the lock of hair called Srivatsa and the transcendental jewel named Kaustubha. He wore a yellow garment covered by a belt, and he was decorated by a flower garland surrounded by bees. Manifesting himself in this way, O King, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose activities are wonderful, covered the entire surface of the earth with one footstep, the sky with his body, and all directions with his arms. Purport. One might argue, since Bali Maharaj promised Vamanadeva only the land occupied by his steps, why did Vamanadeva occupy the sky also? In this regard, Srila Jiva Goswami says that the steps include everything, downward and upward. When one stands up, he certainly occupies certain parts of the sky and certain portions of the earth below his feet. Thus, there was nothing uncommon for the Supreme Personality of Godhead when he occupied the entire sky with his body. Om Jnanatimirandasya Jnananjanashalakya Chakshuramalitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Jayapataka Swami Iti Namne Namacharya Padaya Nitaika Papadarne Gaurakada Gramadaya Nagara Gramadarne Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine
Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschati Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare.
At the outset, I would like to seek blessings from all the assembled Vaishnavas so that I may speak something which will be for my purification as well as something beneficial for all of us. Today we will try to examine this long group of slokas in two parts. Sorry. The first part is about the Virat Rupa itself, which has been described very elaborately here by Srila Prabhupada, the form of the Lord and its contrast with the transcendental form of the Lord. That is Virat Rupa, form of the Lord, contrasted with the transcendental form of the Lord. That will be the first part of our discussion. And secondly, we'll also try to understand Bali Maharaj is actually a Mahajana. Now, why is he called a Mahajan? And the lesson it has for all sadhakas like us. So these are two parts we will see, depending upon, of course, the time available. So here we see that we finally get to the point where Lord Vamandev takes his first step. And Srila Prabhupada mentions, quoting Jiva Goswami, that there is nothing uncommon for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This actually is a little bit of a heavy statement, and it has various connotations that it shows that there is actually no limit to the energies and potencies of the Lord. What this means is that the Lord can do anything, both believable and unbelievable in our small senses, as well as assume any form. Basically, this means that there is no limit to the abilities of the Lord and to assume any form. So this is the basic foundation which is laid in this sloka. Now, going a little deep about the very form of the Lord. Firstly, we'll see about the Virat Rupa, and then we'll examine a little bit about the transcendental form so that we can see the contrast. Firstly, we need to understand that the Lord does not have a material form like us, but has a transcendental form which is full of eternity, knowledge and bliss. It is not mundane like us, but it is Sachidananda Vigraha. It is mentioned that Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachidananda Vigraha Anadiradir Govinda Sarva Karana Karana. He is a prime cause of all causes. So this is the fundamental difference between a body, a material body like us, and a spiritual body like the Lord. Now, the Virat Rupa form about which Srila Prabhupada is elaborately describing in all these slokas, and which Bali Maharaj was fortunate enough to have darshan, it is a form of the Lord, but it is a temporary form. This has a material form, hence it is temporary. Just like the cosmic manifestation which manifests and unmanifests itself. However, this form, this material form, is coming from the Lord's internal potency. So how do we understand anything which is coming from Krishna's internal potency, which is temporary? It's a little puzzling. In the Brahma Samhita, it is said that the Mahamaya is the shadow of Chit potency of the Supreme Lord. Whereas in the material world, this Yogamaya potency expands as the Achit potency or Durga, which means a fort or a prison house where all the misguided souls are placed, because essentially we are placed in this material world because we wanted to compete with the Lord in terms of His enjoyment. So, this place is essentially a place for reformation. And Durga, she has one task. That is, she is to ensure that the conditioned souls do not interfere with the Krishna's pastimes with His pure devotees. So, in that sense, we are kept here till we reform ourselves and go back home and become eligible to participate in the pastimes of the Lord. So, in that sense, the Virat Rupa is manifested through His internal potency, but through Achit Shakti, which makes it temporary. Now, we will see a little bit about why Krishna comes to this planet. Krishna comes to the planet for various reasons. To have loving pastimes with His devotees, kill the demoniac, as well as to re-establish dharma. Now, in order to re-establish the religious principles, He has to establish His authority. As else, the foolish persons who inhabit this material world will think Him to be one of their own. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Aham sarvasya prabhavo, matha sarvam parvatate, iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvitaha. That is, Krishna is the cause of everything. Everything emanates from Him. So, this is the primary premise on which the form of the Lord is built up. So, He has to establish this authority to ensure that the foolish persons do not ascribe to Him material qualities, think Him to be no different from one of their own. And they would not be able to understand His actual, real, spiritual characteristics. In fact, the Lord goes to the extent of saying that when He comes down and takes a human form, He calls the people mudha, who are not able to understand Him. Avajanti mam mudha. That is, fools deride me when I take this human form. So, they do not know my transcendental nature or my supreme dominion over all. So He shows His opulences by showing His Virat Rupa. So this is one of the ways He establishes His authority. Now coming to understand the creations of the Lord, which no ordinary human being would be able to do. On a clear day, you look at the sky, you look at the moonlit night, you'll be able to see the stars, you'll be able to see the moon, and you'll be able to wonder that yes, there is some personality which is superior to all of us, who's controlling all of this. Because the stars move from one place to the other as per the directives of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, to give a material example, just about 2-3 weeks ago, I was in the US and I had been to see the Grand Canyon. And I was amazed, simply amazed by looking at that structure, which the pamphlet said has formed over a period of 2 billion years. The kind of a depth to which the canyon has reveals itself. And most surprisingly, there was a devotee in the Grand Canyon who was doing book distribution, and we were just chatting up, and he explained that the bottommost layer of rock is called the Vishnu rock. I mean, I was surprised, I was amazed. He says Vishnu is here also. So this is the glory, one of the small glories of the Lord. You take the Himalayas, you take the river Ganges, how big they are. And Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that of the large mountains, I am the Himalaya. So this shows His greatness, which we will not be able to comprehend by our tiny brains unless we see this for ourselves, which is why the Lord shows His Virat Rupa form at certain points in time. Another aspect, very surprising, the universe, which measures 500 million yojanas in diameter, appears like a mustard seed resting on one of the hoods of Lord Balaram. Now you can see how big even this very earthly planet is. When we were traveling back from US to here, it took about 16 to 17 hours. I was wondering when it is going to end. I mean, a small distance like this, I was pretty flabbergasted. But then when we look at the entire universe creation, it is 500 million yojanas, and it appears like a mustard seed to Lord Balaram. So this is His glory. That is, on your thousands of hoods rest the global sphere, rest the innumerable global spheres like grains of mustard, so insignificant that you have no perception of their weight. So this is the Lord for us. So with this information, we can imagine how gigantic would be Lord Balaram, even if we take the earth planet resting on His head as a mustard seed. I mean, this is just a sort of a material eyes we are looking at, that yes, the earth planet has a mustard seed, and the Lord is not even aware that yes, this is there. So this is about His greatness. Now about His revealing the Virat Rupa form. Krishna does not reveal His Virat Rupa form to anyone and everyone. He is fairly selective. But He reveals it nevertheless to demons as well as to His devotees, but He does it selectively. Like He reveals it to His devotees like Arjuna and Bali Maharaj and Narad Muni, as well as in Chaitanya Leela, Advaita Acharya also had the fortune to see the Virat Rupa. Now, this was a set of devotees, and we'll see the qualities as to how the kind of a transformation, or what are the thoughts which go into their mind when they see the Virat Rupa form of the Lord. One is this set of devotees. The other set is people like Duryodhana, who are always inimical to the Lord. They also get to see the Virat Rupa, but they have a different set of feelings of the Virat Rupa. Their feeling is something fearful. That is, they fear that they will lose all their opulences, and the ultimate, they will die. This is the feeling when a demon looks at a Virat Rupa form of the Lord. On the other hand, the devotee, like for instance Arjuna, he was also a little fearful in the beginning. But later on, there is a slight gradual transformation. That is, he is struck with wonder and awe when he looks at the form of the Lord. But while previously he exhibited a relationship of friendship with the Lord, now he understands the seriousness of the relationship, which then transforms into a guru-disciple relationship. Previously, like we would often call to our friends in a friendly manner, "Are yaar, aao." I mean, Arjuna exhibited these kind of relationships with the Lord, and then he remembers all of that, and when he comes to this position of a disciple surrendering to a spiritual master, he is a little embarrassed. But yes, to what extent I have expressed familiarity, and actually I should have kept a distance, because in a guru-disciple relationship, the friendship element should not be there. I mean, it will be a little offensive at times. So we have to have a regard, high regard of the spiritual master. But that transformation was necessary. For instance, devotees of Vrindavan, like Mother Yashoda, she was also shown the Virat Rupa. She also saw the Virat Rupa form of the Lord when Krishna opened his mouth. And she also saw herself. Now, she did not think of Krishna in terms of his being God. Krishna covered her eyes, and then he withdrew the curtain. She saw all of this, but then he put the curtain back, so that after having seen, she forgot. Sorry. Now, we will next examine the seeing of the Virat Rupa. What is it? What are the characteristics we need to imbibe in ourselves? How do we see the Lord or the Virat Rupa form? The universal form is fairly difficult to see and perceive, but more difficult is to the form of Krishna, because he is not readily available to all, and in order to be able to see him, we have to purify ourselves. We have to reach a certain level before we come to the level of seeing Krishna. That is, we have to come up to the level of, say, Dhruva Maharaj or Narad Muni, who got darshan of the Lord. We have to purify ourselves. Now, this purification can be exhibited, like in that pastime, the cobbler and the Brahmin. We all know that pastime. So I may not be able to go, I may not be going into the pastime in detail, but then I'll take certain portions of this to highlight the bhavas exhibited by different people. When the Brahmin saw Narad Muni, he asked him that, "Yes, you are going to see Lord Narayan. Oh, please ask him when I will get liberated." And then he walked a few distances ahead, and he saw a cobbler who was also singing the glories of the Lord, who was also singing kirtans. And when he saw Narad Muni, he paid his obeisances and asked him, "You are going to see the Lord, so please ask him when I will get liberated, etc." So Narad Muni goes to see Krishna, and he puts forward these two questions to Krishna. Now Krishna gives a very surprising answer, saying that as far as the Brahmin is concerned, frankly speaking, it's a bit of a question mark. Whereas the cobbler, this very lifetime, he is coming back. Narad Muni was surprised. He said, "No, you have to understand why I have said so. So you go back and tell them about one small incident that yes, they have asked you what was I doing. So you can tell them that I was threading an elephant through the eye of a needle and see their reactions. So it's just that the Lord mentions this and Narad Muni goes back. When he meets the Brahmin, Brahmin asks him, yes, what was the Lord doing? And Lord Narad Muni mentions this. The Brahmin was steeped in learning mantras, reading scriptures, this, that, etc. So when he hears this from Narad Muni, it sort of didn't strike any chord with him. He says, no, this cannot happen. I mean, he brushed it away. On the other hand, when he went to the cobbler, he heard Narad Muni saying this very same thing. And then tears started coming out of his eyes. Narad Muni asked him, do you believe this? He said, yes, of course I believe this. The tree under which I am sitting, it's a banyan tree. It has hundreds and thousands of fruits. And in each one of those fruits, there are hundreds of seeds. And in each seed, the Lord has invested the potency to grow a similar banyan tree. A seed is very small, but still such a large banyan tree can sprout from that one small seed. And like that, there are plenty of seeds which he has brought about. So if the Lord can do that, why can't the Lord thread millions of elephants through one eye of a needle? This was the stark opposite reaction by the cobbler. So the cobbler had this faith. And it is not that he had a blind faith that yes, Lord can do anything. He explained it scientifically. That took the example of the seed. That yes, the seed could be germinated, could be planted in the ground. You water, course of time it will give birth to a giant banyan tree. So he saw this scientifically. Whereas if this kind of a scientific or a philosophical understanding is absent, then it becomes sentiment, which is not encouraged as understanding the Lord. So while the Brahmin was into reading books and learning mantras and things like that, the cobbler had a personal realization which he explained scientifically. So, when Prabhupada mentions that there is nothing uncommon for the Lord to perform, this is one of the few things we need to understand. And we will be able to come to this position of understanding the Lord in these kind of terms only when we practice bhakti. Now this is so much about the Virat Rupa form of the Lord. How do we see that? How do we perceive? How do we understand? How do we interact? Now we'll come to a little bit about Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj, this chapter reveals that Bali Maharaj is a Mahajan. And why do we call him a Mahajan? That is, how did he get on to that pedestal of one among the 12 Mahajans? Firstly, he passed an impossible test, which prima facie quite a lot of us will struggle with. He defied his materialistic guru, Shukracharya. Because when Shukracharya told him, quoting scriptures, okay, look, the promise which you have given to Vamandev, that yes, you will give 3 pieces of land, it is actually a trick, and you can withdraw your promise, and there is no harm which will befall you. But then Bali Maharaj displayed integrity. That yes, I have given my promise to the Lord, and I will abide by it, whatever be the circumstances. Now, although Bali Maharaj defied his guru, it did not mean that he was inimical to his guru. As a matter of fact, we know that in one of the battles, Bali Maharaj was killed. And it was Shukracharya who brought him back to life, for which act Bali Maharaj was actually very grateful to Shukracharya. So it was not inimical. But the point where he discriminated listening to his guru was that instruction which was coming from his guru was inimical to his own spiritual development. When he said that yes, he should not surrender to Vishnu. That is the place where we could let go of the guru. And Bali Maharaj was fortunate enough to be able to analyze this very correctly and take the decision and abide by his original promise to Vamandev that yes, he will give whatever the Lord measures within those 3 pieces of land. Now, he has forsaken his guru. Bali Maharaj has forsaken his guru. And he has surrendered totally to the Lord. So, the natural thinking in this kind of a situation would be that Krishna will come to my help, come what may. Yes, Krishna does. But the way he reciprocates, we could be put into a little bit of a delusion. What happens? Like initially, when we take up devotional service, we associate with devotees, we are taken to a program, they explain about something about the Lord, we develop a little bit of faith, ado shraddha. Then we get association of the devotees. That is the next step. We get association of the devotees. They explain a little more in depth, the association of the devotees. And then when we take the association of devotees, they do not keep us on a placid platform that yes, you sit and meditate. They immediately give us a mala. Yes, boss, you start off chanting. You start off the 4 regulative principles and this. Like that, bhajana kriya next creeps in. So, ado shraddha, sadhu sangha, bhajana kriya. We come to this level. We enrich these processes. Then we come to the next platform of anartha nivritti. Now, the first three, if we draw a graph, it can take place fairly fast. In the form of a line. When it comes to anartha nivritti, depending on using an airline language, excess baggage within our consciousness, depending on how much of an excess baggage we carry within our hearts, this anartha nivritti platform could stretch on. And that is a position which we need to take care very carefully. We need to nourish our Krishna consciousness practices. That we should not, at that time when the anartha nivritti is happening, we should not get delusion that yes, nothing is happening. We should not think in those terms. We should take more and more association of senior Vaishnavas and thereby cleanse this. Cheto darpana marjanam. Like if we have a mirror we use for seeing ourselves. Mirror is clean, we see ourselves. But on that mirror, if we have 1 kilometer of dust accumulated on top of that, obviously when we see ourselves, we are not going to see anything. So, by taking the names of the Lord, Cheto Darpana Marjanam is going to happen. Clear away that dust. So that is the process of Anartha Nivritti. So it could be long, it could be short, it all depends on how much of an excess baggage we are bringing into this world. So what does this show to the sadhakas in terms of, relating it with Bali Maharaj? That yes, Bali Maharaj, he exhibited a firm faith on the Lord. He displayed integrity. That yes, he had promised that he will give the 3 pieces of land, and he disregarded the advice of his spiritual master. Now this integrity is very important for us sadhakas. It can be contrasted a little bit with honesty, that honesty could be that yes, we are required to do 16 rounds per day. We are doing only say 12. We say, Prabhuji, I am not able to do more than 12. That is honesty. We are not able to follow one of the 4 regulator principles. We mention that. That is honest. But integrity goes a step beyond that. We recognize the place where we are. We are only at round 12 and then we call it a day. But whereas we are needing to go up to round 16, we keep this as our prime focus and endeavor. Maybe we will not be able to do it in day 1 or day 2 or day 3 or maybe month 1. But then that perseverance will take us there. That is integrity, and that is what Krishna is watching from each one of us. That yes, we recognize where we are and where do we want to go and take steps to go there. That is integrity, which was displayed by Bali Maharaj. Because as we saw, Shukracharya gave him scriptural injunctions as to how he could retract his promise. But then he saw that yes, the promise which he had made to the Lord will not get fulfilled, and that bottom line delineating factor will not be fulfilled by me. And hence he displayed his integrity to surrender to the Lord. Similarly, the cobbler in the previous pastime, he saw Krishna, this thing. He did not think that Krishna could not have done that elephant pass it through the eye of the needle, because he explained it scientifically. These are the kind of steps which us sadhakas need to take so that we do not end up running on a treadmill and remain where we are. But then we have to run on the firm ground to go ahead. This implicit faith in the Lord can redeem our lives and take us back home, back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. If there are any comments, I do not know whether I'll be able to adjust questions. Yes, Prabhuji. Yeah.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, you were mentioning that when a certain person or an offender, he sees the external power of Krishna, he loses everything and loses his life force also.
Sorry, please, Prabhu, I am not able to get your thing clearly.
You were mentioning in the class that when a certain person, most probably an offender, he sees Krishna's external power or a universal form, then he fears losing everything or even losing his life force.
Yeah, the Duryodhan type of people.
So, there is King Paundraka also.
Sorry?
King Paundraka. From Krishna book we know, from the Bhagavatam.
I'm not able to hear properly. Prabhu.
Paundraka?
Sorry? Okay.
King Paundraka. he was challenging Krishna, blaspheming him. He was not even progressive. So Krishna cut his throat. You remember that pastime?
No, Prabhuji, I don't remember. Prabhuji, would you like to throw some light on this, Prabhu? I don't remember. Sorry? Prabhuji.
So, could you explain how Krishna does not like hypocrisy and that he will punish the offenders? And
Krishna does not like hypocrisy
in devotees.
Yeah.
And or anybody, and he will punish the offenders.
Yeah, right.
And save the honest, sincere, and responsible
right.
devotees.
I mean, that is the deeper explanation of this integrity part which I was explaining. Like, we may say one thing and do quite another, but then Krishna is within each one of us as Paramatma and he is witnessing all our deeds. So if we say something and do something else, an ordinary human mortal may fall for that. Whereas Krishna as the Paramatma, he knows our heart and he certainly expects us to reform ourselves, to bridge that gap from hypocrisy and coming onto this platform of acting with integrity as displayed by Bali Maharaj. That is, Bali Maharaj had all the reasons in the world to retract his promise given by Sukracharya. I am not even talking of an ordinary hypocritical situation of human beings. Bali Maharaj had all the reasons given by Sukracharya. But then, yes, he displayed this integrity that, yes, I have promised to the Lord, I will give what he wants, come what may. That's how I see that, Prabhu.
Prabhuji, would you like to? My main point was, you were mentioning how a person loses everything and even probably loses his life force also, you said. So what are the possible punishments Krishna may give? Like, he may put him out of association of the devotees, or he may, do you know some of those things?
Yeah, like for instance, like Shishupal, he gave those 100 opportunities for Shishupal to reform himself. But then, when Shishupal crossed that 100th line, the 100th attempt, the Lord decimated him. So, the Lord gives us an opportunity to reform ourselves. It's not that right from day one we do or he shoots. No, he gives us the opportunity. At the end of it, that when he sees that, yes, this is beyond redemption, that is the point when he takes his action. So before we cross that line, we should be able to get into the integrity platform and surrender to the Lord and do whatever our senior acharyas or whatever our spiritual master wants. So that act can take us back home, back to Godhead. And so that will also ensure that we do not get into these kind of hypocritical traps laid by Maya. Does that answer your question, Prabhu?
Okay. Hare Krishna. So one should be dutifully associating with pure devotees who follow 100% Krishna consciousness.
Firstly, I see, especially starting from myself, I take myself as very fortunate that, yes, I've been able to stay in this dham for the past few years and associate with the devotees here, attend the temple programs, and that enriches our practice of Krishna consciousness, which takes us forward in this path, as we saw just now. So staying the dham itself is a very great purificatory process. We could undergo quite a lot of austerities in this process, but we need to keep this ultimate goal in mind that, yes, what is it that we want to achieve? We want to obey whatever our spiritual master is wanting from us. And that is eminently helped by example. For example, this is one of the ways, our stay in Mayapur. It, at least it has helped me quite a lot.
Yes, Prabhuji. One should be careful not to commit offenses.
Yeah, that devotees. Is right. That's right.
Otherwise, we'll lose the association of devotees.
That's right.
Hare Krishna.
The time is up. Can we take? Srimad Bhagavatam Grantaraj ki jai, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari Bol.